Hello and welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Crack. This is the podcast where I ask you, what's the crack? What's the crack, guys? Get in touch. Let me know. I'll share it with everyone else. If it's worth sharing. I hope you're all right. Hope you're well. Hope your week's been splendid and carefree and easy and relaxing and just not a hassle, because I can't be dealing with hassle. Yeah. Hope you've been keeping well, keeping out of trouble, keeping yourself good. What's been going on? What's the crack? Yeah. Apologies for this being a bit late. I'm very lazy. No, actually, what I say, I do have a reason. I don't. There's no justifiable reason. I've just been not really keeping myself up to a standard I would like to maintain. Not physically, that went out the door years ago. But no, I just mean, you know, productive-wise, I've been trying to sort of get on top of it again. But no, the first day after work, I woke up in the afternoon, maybe about 12:30, 1:00, dragged myself out of bed, and then I did very little to the dishes, and Charlotte had acquired this fantastic, it sounds so weird, fantastic loaf of bread. What the fuck am I talking about? Yeah, it was a loaf of bread, but it was delicious, and I thought, oh, I'll have a tiny little bit of that. So I did. I cut off a tiny little bit, and I had some, fancy butter. A little bit of Lurpak on there, yeah, a little bit of salted butter. Oh, good lord, it was good. So, yeah, I left it on the side and would come back and, I don't know, sort of some sort of weird, greedy orbit. I would get a bit of bread, put some butter on it, wander around the flat, not achieve anything, and then wander back to the bread, cut another little bit, and that was it until Charlotte came home. That wasn't, you know, that's not all I did, but that was my first day off. I didn't achieve very much. Hey, the bread. Oh, eat the bread. Sorry, hopefully that wasn't contagious. I hope you're not yawning now. It's, what time is it? 1:15 in the morning, and I'm getting this done, because, yeah, time's got away from me. It doesn't even exist, and here it is, getting away from me. How does that work? It's ridiculous. Yeah? Like losing a dog you don't own. Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. Got some good bread in my life. Something else that happened that day that I thought was amusing was the wee chihuahua who I'm spending the day with tomorrow, although I do believe we're going for a drive. I'll be driving, of course. Yeah, the wee chihuahua, she wanted out. No, she didn't want out. She was sleeping. She found a spot on the bed where the sun comes through and hits her at the perfect angle. So, you know, she lies in that spot and basks like some sort of sea creature, just lies there in the sunlight. So I went through and I told her, I said to her, you know, chica, you gotta go outside. You need to go outside, because you're gonna piss in the flat if you don't, because I know what you're like. So I have to go down the stairs. That's me walking down the stairs. That's not me throwing her down the stairs. Bounces down the stairs. Sounds like the start of EastEnders. Yeah, no, that's, Jesus, that's grim. Yeah, so I went down the stairs with her, and at the bottom of our stairs, there's a door. That's how you get in and out of the flat, surprise. But beside the door, on the wall, there is a window to the outdoors. And through this window, I could see two seagulls. And I don't mean tiny wee seagulls, I mean those big behemoth seagulls. The ones that can take you on. The ones that look you in the eye. You know? You're driving away from Burger King drive through, and you got some chips in the car, and they know it. They're the ones that, you know, they watch. Cold intelligence behind those eyes, and I do not like it. So there's two of those guys in the car park. That was their car park. But I could see, because it had been windy, I could see they were some sort of weird, sort of bastardized game of football, knocking a plastic bag between the two of them. It was something out of Jurassic Park. You know, the second one, when there's the two RVs and the two T-Rexes are knocking it between them. Like that, alright? That's how big these... No, they weren't that big. Yeah, so they were doing something with this carrier bag from the bin. The bin had blown over, and they'd acquired the bag, so I could see them. I was like, oh. Better leave my wallet at home in case they, you know, put a switchblade. Yeah, I could see they actually got the bag open. And I'm a caring wee neighbor over here, guys. You know, I mean, I don't know my neighbor's names, but it's only been 5 years. I'm not sure if they know mine. Actually, they do. The guy downstairs is, hi, Lewis. So, God, what dick I am. Yeah, I could see the bag had been prized open, or slashed open by their very sharp beaks. I actually got bit by a seagull once when I was in high school. There's a memory. Fucking hell. Okay, I'll tell you that story, because I'm a good guy in it. No, it's lunchtime, and in my school, at lunchtime, you could go down the street. So, we did. Myself and my girlfriend at the time, it was the two of us, and when we were coming back there, you had to walk past the old scout hut. I'm not sure if it's still there, but that was right by the school gate. And some younger guys, I won't name names, gentlemen, but I remember who you were. They'd thrown stones at this seagull, and they'd actually got it, and I'm not quite sure how it happened, but they had hit it in the wing. And it hadn't just hit the wing, it had, like, tore it. It was quite horrendous. Yeah, it, like, actually tore the poor wee seagull's skin. And obviously the feathers, but there was a lot of blood coming out of the poor thing. And it was on the ground, and they were kicking it around. I mean, I'm not an animal lover, but I'm not a sadistic little fuck. And I get maybe it was because my girlfriend at the time was right there, and, you know, had to be the man. But no, I'm not cool. So I went over, and, you know, so I can leave it alone, guys. Didn't know what to do with it. I was probably going to put it in the bin, but when I went to pick it up, bad idea. Poor thing, obviously. You know, whatever instincts it had, obviously knew death was coming. You know, and this, I don't know, 16-year-old boy just going to go and pick it up. So I went to pick it up and got my hand down within what to me very suddenly became known as the biting distance. The fucking thing bit my hand. And was that bit in between your thumb and your forefinger, you know, the point, you know. Fucking sore, sharp. And as weird as it sounds, it's not until you're up close to one of these birds you realise how big they fucking are. Again, when I was a greenkeeper at a golf course for a tiny wee while. Maybe I wasn't. I cut the grass. but then one of the days, one of the guys brought in his rifle, because, you know, you're allowed to get rid of some of the crows that were a problem. And I wasn't part of that. I had other work to be doing, but when we came back to the main depot, he had a few of the dead ones in the back of his wee buggy there, and he was putting them in the bin. It's the first time in my life, 24, 25, that I'd ever seen a crow that close, and fucking huge, massive, I don't know, maybe like a foot in length, and I get huge beak, sharp. So yeah, that's me bit by a seagull in high school. I didn't get seagull powers, you know. They didn't find me dead on the beach covered in oil. Stealing chips out of the bin. And yeah. Back to now. Yeah, back to the other day. Seagulls in the car park. I was about to walk past with the wee dog, and they'd got the rubbish bag whoosh, torn open. That's not good. And all the more disgusting was whoever put the bag in had a microwaveable curry, you know, with the wee plastic tub, and then you peel it back, put a wee bit of water in the rice, you puncture it several times, which means you go wild on it like you're Ted Bundy, you just hack at that fucker. They had that in the bin, and the seagull had that out, and they had the cover, and that was blowing around, it was all sticky and gross, and I was like, I don't like this, and if they get into that bag, it's going to go way where. So I walked over, and as I walked over, they didn't fly away, they just sort of backed off the minimal sort of distance. I picked the bag up, and gentleman neighbour, fucking Lewis over here, lifted all the bins up, put them back in the bin, and then, here's the thing, I don't know what you do when you take your dog off the toilet, I don't watch her. I'm not into that, you know, I don't watch her piss and shit, so I'm looking at my phone, chin pressed against my collarbone as I look down at it. Obviously going to get some sort of weird posture issue later in life. And I look down at the dog and I'm like, are you done? And she hasn't done anything yet. What are you doing? So I look at what she's looking at. She's standing sort of like a no-nonsense stance. What are you looking at? And the two seagulls are standing, like, looking at her. But it's not a friendly, like, curiosity thing. It's, if I wasn't there, I think they would try to eat her. I don't think they were happy I took away their food, but they were watching. And it was like the end of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, when he writes the name on the stone and they all back up and the music builds. El Finale. I had the soundtrack. It's one of my favourite films, guys, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Wah, wah, wah. But these big seagulls, I'm pretty confident they could probably eat a chihuahua, because there'd been about five of them. You know, if there's only two, there'd been maybe five. I don't think I'd have gone near them, because they can take you on. And if you've ever gone for a coffee with me at the Costa up by McDonald's in Inverness, for some fucking reason, every time I'm there, I start looking at the birds outside and I get paranoid that they're going to turn on us, like The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock. We'd be fucked if the birds... We'd be outnumbered. We'd be outgunned. They're there. It's too much. Don't want to think about it. Too scary. So that was my day off after work. Yep. Ate bread and, I don't know, reignited my paranoia that the birds are going to turn against us. So that's what was going on. And I haven't done much since. Oh, whoa. Went for a wee walk yesterday with the dog and Charlotte, but we went for lunch first. But it was like a fancy lunch, wasn't it? I put a tie on, go and sit down with your suit jacket there type of lunch. No, we went to a little cafe place near the canal. Canals usually have that kind of edge. At least in Britain. Yeah. I don't imagine Venice has that kind of, shopping trolley dumped in it and litter strewn. And why is there an empty deodorant can there? Someone's probably inhaled that. So we went for lunch and I'm going round a roundabout as you're meant to do. Indicating, completely in the right, and some cunt pulls it. Oh, no, that's not a very polite way. Some fellow road user pulls out in front of me. So, myself being the James Bond, almost, level driver. Emergency brake. Bam. Well, that's a bad word, bam. No, we didn't crash, but I came to a sudden halt. Like, you can brake and come to a gentle halt, but this was like a proper brake on, bam. Everything shuddered and the car... And the old guy looks at me with his face like I'm at fault. And usually, like 99.9% of the time, I'm very laid back, guys. I don't usually care about very much. In the past, when folk have pulled out in front of me, I've come in near misses, I usually smile and wave. But the way this guy looked at me, I was filled with rage. Like, immediately, I was angry. I was not impressed, and he drove off. I don't know where it came from. I've never had that before. It's that road rage, but he looked at me like I was at fault. I mean, you're the one driving out into the roundabout, you old bastard. Whoa. Yeah, so, learned a little bit of something about myself there. Apparently when I'm completely not at fault and somebody tries to blame me, I feel anger. I wasn't impressed. I was not impressed. If you're listening to this, sir, I remember your face. Yeah. I was not happy. So, a little lesson for you guys. When you're at a roundabout, before you pull out onto it, look right, if you're in the UK, as you're meant to do, and make sure no one's coming along. And if they are, wait. And if they're indicating, wait. And then go. And if you pull out, wave. Give them, okay, my bad. Don't look at them like, why are you driving on the roundabout? Oh, I wasn't impressed. Anyway, I had lunch, BLT and a black coffee. Delicious. Yeah. Kind of going through some paranoia as well at the moment. Maybe not paranoia. I'm sure when I listen back to this, to edit it, that's what I do. It takes me about half an hour to, just over half an hour to record it, and then 40 minutes to edit it when I listen back to it. That's the only time I listen to it as well. Like, some folk will be like, oh, I was listening to your podcast. Do you remember that episode you talk about? No. After I listen to it, that's it. Gone to the past. But no, when I listen back to this one, I'm probably going to think, Lewis, you're talking a lot about some sort of mental health things here. You go, paranoia, the birds are going to come and get you. You've got some sort of weird apathy towards life. You're lazy. You're sudden fits of rage. No, that was justified. That old guy was... he was wrong. Yeah. But the paranoia, though, I'm feeling. So, I don't know how much I can talk about here. Okay, so, let's say somebody likes cigars. Okay, bear with me. And let's say they have a birthday, and they decide at the time of the birthday, nah. But then they get paid. And they think, okay, you know what? Buy yourself some cigars for a birthday present. So you go online and you find a Swiss website that posts internationally. And the UK prices are wild because our government likes to tax things heavily. Unless you're very rich, which is very strange. But anyway, so you buy some online and then it goes, okay. But a warning comes up when you buy it, saying you run the risk of it being caught by customs. And you get sent a bill, or you lose your whole purchase. So, you roll the dice, and you say, fudge it, to heck with it. Son of a biscuit, I'll risk it. Alright, so you do that. So that may or may not have been what I'm doing at the moment, however my tracking, or the, you know, the tracking of said package has been at customs for about a week now. So... shit! I'm quite expecting to be sent a bill in the post. You know, sort of... Well, it's not even like an ultimatum. It is an ultimatum, but it's not like an unjustified one. It's the tax. If it gets through, it gets through. That's very nice. But it's not like... these bastards are taxing me. That's the way it goes, man. And I know that. I'm just... maybe not. Maybe it's just... sitting at customs for no reason. But the tracking has stopped since it left Switzerland and arrived in the UK. It's been sitting there for some time, so... oh, we can see what happens there. Maybe not. Maybe I'll end up spending twice the amount. It'd have been better just buying them in the UK, because... no, on principle. No. Take a risk. Anything else written down on here? Where to find time? Oh, right, yeah. So today, went out with a friend. A lovely day. He's doing some DIY, do-it-yourself, so, yeah, I mean, I just had my bathroom floor done, didn't do a fucking thing. What have I done since then? The dishes. But now a friend, he's doing up his own place, so we went to a hardware store, whatever they're called in the UK, Wex, you know, I don't know. Don't know what they're called. Homebase, B&Q, Wex. Those types of places. Went to one of them. Toy shop for adults. Fucking loved it. Look at all the tools. Yep. If I had a shed, I would have some of them on the wall. They would be hanging up. And that is a lovely screwdriver set. You know, so I love walking around those places. Love seeing all those things. Went around. Very cool. Decided to go for lunch afterwards. Again, if you haven't caught on, I do like a soup and a sandwich and a coffee. So we went next door to this, like, I don't say hill climbing place, but it's like a mountain climbing, like, you know, these types of places where the staff wear sporty clothes. They wear outdoorsy clothes. I went to one of these, places, and we went upstairs, and if you notice I'm talking a bit quietly, guys, it's because Charlotte's asleep, because it is, you know, after one, so, as you would be, as you should be. As normal folk are, they're usually in bed about 1 o'clock. But if you're listening to this 1 in the morning, good morning. I do often wander on night shift when it gets about 4:30. Who's up? Why are they up? Hope they're okay. Yeah. Maybe they can't sleep, or maybe they got a little baby that's crying and they need to feed. So, for whatever reason, you're up, guys. I hope you're okay. But, the hell was I talking about? So we went for lunch and, or we went to this mountain climbing shop. Carabiners for sale and North Face clothes. Went upstairs, heaving. not a table to be had. And I was like, whoa. And my friend who'd been before was like, yeah, whoa, it's not usually this busy. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. And then, of course, it's Sunday. Guys, I don't get weekends off very often. I forgot what it was like being here on the weekend. It's fucking heavy. I don't like it. If you're into it, power to you. But I don't understand this Monday to Friday routine where everywhere's busy on the weekend. I can't stand that. Even if it means parking. I mean, I usually park very far from the door because I like a tiny little walk. But, like, busy places, I can't be doing with it. So we wait. Oh, my God. You know, don't mind waiting, but I don't like busy places. And the kids. Fucking kids everywhere. Loud, running around. And humbug. Yeah, so we took our business elsewhere. Into that sort of truck stop diner type place. Like, I think it's actually a truck place. It's got like wee barbers attached to it and showers and overnight parking. It's pretty good. I had a soup and a sandwich because I love a soup and a sandwich, and a black coffee because I love a black coffee. Yeah, and then somehow I'd never do very much, and I get very pissed off that I don't make the most of my time because I don't know, maybe I could blame it on, like, have you got ADHD? No, I think I'm just a lazy, fucking unmotivated son of a gun. But yeah, you know, I've got recipes I want to type up. I've got a fucking story. Fucking pretentious. I wrote it as a screenplay a few years ago now, and I've been trying to write it as an actual story, but I just never do, you know. I've got films I want to watch. I've got film write-ups that I want to write. And there's always series. Like, everyone at work is always watching a new series every week. And it's because there's unlimited hundreds of thousands of things out there to watch. And Netflix and Amazon and Disney and what else? HBO. They just keep churning things out. And you can't keep up with it, you know. What's worth watching? I don't know what's worth watching. I'd like to. Speaking of which, something worth watching, if you don't have never seen it before, if you have BBC iPlayer, which you may do, I don't know, maybe you don't, get it pretty easily, just download the app, it's free, and then they'll ask you about a TV license, wink, yes. There's a film on there, directed by Sam Raimi, the guy that did the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films and The Evil Dead, and if you like your Marvel films, he did Doctor Strange 2. I think, which I've not seen. He also did a film called The Gift, which was quite a strange one. One called Drag Me to Hell. Anyway, the point is, he's a very good filmmaker. He was around with the Coen brothers when they started. Big fan of the Coens. You probably heard me before talk. Fucking stop saying, Lewis, what's going on here? Yeah, so you may have heard me talking about Fargo, the TV series that's based on the Fargo movie, which was by the Coen brothers, and they did No Country for Old Men, one of my favourites as well. Just excellent filmmakers. And The Big Lebowski, you know, I'm looking at a poster of that right now as we talk. The dude. So, A Simple Plan. It's directed by Sam Raimi, who, like I said, came sort of up with the Coens. And it's very close to Fargo. It's set in Minnesota in the winter. A lot of snow. And this guy right here, guys, he loves a snowy mystery. Give me a murder in the snow. That's right up my street. And it's just it was an excellent film from the 90s. And I don't know why I've never seen it, because it's the type of thing you'd have seen on TV. Well, I mean, it was on BBC at some point, if it's on BBC iPlayer, but it's the type of thing I'd have had on video when I was wee. You know, it's not like a fantastically amazing blockbuster, but it's a tight sort of thriller. It's not a mystery, because you see what happens at every step. Would you call it neo-noir? Probably not, but right, mystery. I'll give you the absolute briefest sort of synopsis of it, but I don't want to ruin anything. Oh, that's the furry co-host one outside. There may be a sudden pause in the podcast, and I'll return. Ooh, and we're back. Yeah, wow. Cold outside, crisp, fresh. Yeah, the wee Mexican furry co-host needed that out, so I took her out. And the other night I watched Dog Soldiers, which, if you've never seen it, it's a horror film. set in Scotland, about werewolves. Set in the Highlands, actually, so I had that in the back of my mind. And then I think it was a full moon tonight, so scary, but I'm back and I'm fine, and there was no wolves, unless you count Chica. So I was talking about A Simple Plan. Yep, it's a very basic plot, but I shan't ruin it, as I recommend you watch it. Two brothers and another are kicking about the Minnesota wilderness, and they find a plane. And on this plane, a corpse. And with this corpse, a bag with $4.4 million, which they decide to keep. And so sets off a chain of events. Deceit and murder and paranoia and the cops and one of them, oh, he tells his wife about it, and, you know, never tell your miss about this sort of thing, because things start going wrong. Good film. And Dog Soldiers, also worth a watch, just purely for the nostalgia. Then you can't have nostalgia if you didn't watch it when you were 10 years old. So, yeah, is that everything going on? Might be, yeah. I'm just going to get to bed at some point. It's almost 2 and going through to get measured for a kilt tomorrow. I think. Maybe. That's the intention. Whether or not that happens, we shall see, but yeah. So, is that everything? I think so. I don't know. I'm fucking freezing. I'm getting the shivers after being outside. Yeah. I did get some listener mail, but it was very personal, and it's from a friend of mine, so I shan't read it out, but what I will say is it was from Ewan, and thank you, Ewan, for listening. I'm glad you're all caught up with the podcast, and your question about when are the boys, yourself and some of the other guys, when are you guys going to be on it? Well, soon. It's always been my intention to have guests on and have conversations, because it's very lonely doing it this way, you know, sitting up till 2 in the morning on your own. I'd like to have some folk on to have some conversation and some bounce, and people with different expertise would be fascinating. So I can hear somebody walking about, or maybe there's a ghost. Spooky as fuck. Yes, so Ewan, I will be formally inviting you as a guest on at some point, hopefully to talk about something you know about. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. People in the past that I've asked, not a lot of folk are keen. They say the same thing I always say when, why do I keep saying tonight? Maybe it's because I'm tired. I'm real. Yeah, nobody likes the sound of their own voice. And if they do, they're probably a bit of a knob. But I certainly don't. So yeah, I'll be inviting you on at some point soon. Still waiting to hear back from somebody else that I've asked, because her area of expertise is, I'm not going to say very secret, because then she wouldn't be allowed on. It's just a very serious matter. Can edit them all out, but I think you have to hear how fucking frustrating it is. Oh, yeah, sorry for all the ums and ahs tonight. But this guest that I would love to have on, I'd write out a page of questions in advance that she's passed on to the powers that be to check it would be okay to be on and talk about it. But I would love for her to be on, because we've spoken about her previous, or still current line of work in the past, in person, but it's different when you record it, you know. You can't joke. There's no just taking the piss. No jokes. No lightheartedness. I mean, if I was to talk about what I do at work, it would have to be very serious and very somber and respectful. And the reality is, at work, you need the dark humour to get through. I don't think you'd last if you couldn't laugh at the most horrible things. If you can break that tension, you know, that has to be gone. Yeah. I don't know how true it is, but the program Scrubs, Silly Doctors, I believe by folk in the medical profession, that is one of the most accurate depictions of hospital staff. I mean, Charlotte's watching Grey's Anatomy at the moment. Not right now, but, you know, it's on. And that's just unreal. I mean, if that was what a hospital was like, nothing would be done. So, what's my point here? Yeah, I'd love to have guests on. So, thank you for the message, Ewan. I don't know why I'm doing that. Unreal. Unreal. I'm just getting the elastic band around my wrist and whoosh, every time I... Yeah, thank you for the email. It was absolutely delightful. I love getting the wee zzz on the phone because I turn off my notifications. I don't get Snapchat or WhatsApp notifications anymore, and my phone rarely goes off. And I've told Charlotte if she needs to get in touch, text her phone because those notifications come through. But nobody else does, unless it's important. And it would surprise you how unimportant a lot of messages are. Same with, I've turned off my emails for general things, and I've, every time I get an email I don't care for, you know, from, it's Domino's, buy a pizza, or Sports Direct, I hit unsubscribe, and it's just, oh, it's so much nicer. Unsubscribe to your bullshit emails, guys, it's lovely. Now, other than the listener mail from Ewan, thank you, I have another congratulations to put forth to you, dear listeners. This congratulations is for Emma and Sandy for the arrival of Hudson. So congratulations, guys. Emma and Sandy, wee Hudson, handsome Hudson. I hope he's well. I hope you're both well. And congratulations to you both. It's excellent. Another wee one. Delighted that you can welcome wee Hudson and that he is healthy and safe. So that is it for another episode, guys, and I'm going to call it there, and I'm going to get this edited, and I'm going to get this uploaded, and I'm going to go to bed because, yeah, I might have to go and get measured for a kilt tomorrow if all goes to plan, and then at some point, I need to go and learn to dance Kaylee dances again, because I haven't done that since school, so Charlotte needs to teach me how to do Strip the Willow and Dashing White Sergeant, and I remember the Gay Gordons. 1, 2, 3, turn back, 2, 3, turn forward, 2, 3, turn back, 2, 3. Yeah, that is just ingrained if you're into a Scottish primary school. You do that at Christmas time. Right. Okay, thank you very much for listening, guys. Sorry for all the ums and ahs. That's, I'm going to blame them on being tired because that's push. Now, if you want to get in touch, which I would love you to, I'll read it out. You know, you want congratulations, I'll read your congratulations. You want a, I don't know what else. You want a, what's the opposite for congratulations? You want a telling off? That's a bit, maybe cross the line to a king. Maybe not tell you off, but if you got anything you want read out, you know, email, thoughts, opinions. Have you ever been bit by a seagull? I hope not. Just get in touch. You go to www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. Once again, www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. And there's a wee tab on the website. Contact. You go down there, click it. Ding. You send an email. It goes to my Gmail that's aligned with the website. And I get it on my phone. And I'll read it, and I'll read it out on here if I like it. Just to be honest, I probably will. Right, good lord, I'm in a trip balls, I'm not tired. So I shall thank Blackmill for the theme song and Cora for the artwork, the logo. Thank you very much, guys, really appreciate your talents being offered to the podcast. And as for you, dear listener, you take care of yourself, alright? Be staying out of trouble, don't take any shit, but, you know, be good. All right, I'll talk to you next time, guys. Bye for now.